Penguin Random House Audio presents Tomorrow There Will Be Sun by Dana Reinhardt. Read for you by Kirsten Potter. Via Azul Paraíso. Bienvenido a casa, or welcome home, to this exquisite private villa built for comfort as well as unsurpassed luxury, situated on the sparkling blue Bay of Banderas. Since its construction in the 1960s, Via Azul Paraíso has been Puerto Vallarta's exclusive address for lavish parties and weddings. It has housed the rich and famous, from Richard Burton to Martha Stewart, and has served as the premier vacation destination for many foreign dignitaries, including the former U.S. President Richard M. Nixon. You might even recognize Via Azul Paraíso from its appearance in season 4 of the hit reality TV show For Love or Lust, South of the Border. With 4 levels of expansive living, 5 ensuite bedrooms, 3 living rooms, a swimming pool, and a rooftop jacuzzi, there is plenty of space to spread out and come together again with your nearest and dearest. Our warm and highly dedicated staff will prepare delicious, authentic meals and see to it that your every need is met. Come, stay with us, soak up the abundant sun, and leave your troubles at home. Saturday. A perfectly prepared margarita. Rock salt, subtle with the triple sec, less so with the tequila, placed in your hand when you didn't even ask, with an itty-bitty half-lime floating on top, something local grown just down the street where the patchy pavement gives way to dirt, which then surrenders to jungle, can almost take the edge off a day of truly shitty airport mishaps. Let's not recount them. Airport mishaps are dull. They're like dreams. We convince ourselves that ours are potboilers, cliffhangers, whodunits. They're not. And yet, despite the entirely predictable debacle that was our direct flight from LAX to PVR, in business class, no less, because those were the only seats left for which we could use miles, so drained our entire account, we still managed to arrive at Via Azul Paraíso before the Solomons. They should have been here more than an hour ago, so I'm sure they'll breeze in any minute, dying to share their own travel horror stories. But if Roberto, who greeted us in a freshly pressed white zip-up coat that looks like it belongs to a doctor, not the house manager of a luxury Mexican beach rental, hands them margaritas of the same caliber as the one I am currently sipping, perhaps they'll get distracted and spare us the details. Clementine and Peter have gone off exploring. The villa's wide, whitewashed, open corridors stretch out in either direction. There are 2 bedrooms to the right and 3 to the left, including the master with the rainforest shower and soaking tub carved from volcanic rock. They all have views of the ocean. Every inch of this house does. It's built tall, wide, and shallow, with no walls on the ocean side save for the bedrooms, and built on a curve that matches that of the private beach below. The kitchen and dining room sit 1 floor down. Up a flight is a deck with a hot tub and chairs for stargazing. And on the ground floor, ping pong tables. 2 of them, in case you want to get a proper tournament going, and the swimming pool. I'm standing in the villa's main living room. It's 1 of 3, and the only one with comfortable furniture. I know all of this because I studied the website for this place like I was studying for the GREs, which is the last time I studied for anything. Clem comes bounding in, bikini-clad, demonstrating the kind of enthusiasm I was hoping for when we first told her about this trip to celebrate her father's 50th. But she had quickly calculated that this trip meant she wouldn't see Sean or her friends for 7 whole days, and that those 7 whole days would fall on spring break, where there would be parties or hangouts that she would never recover from missing, and she didn't much care that every room has ocean views, or that every bedroom has its own bathroom, or that there would be 3 meals a day prepared by a full-time staff. Except for the ocean views, this pretty much summed up her life back at home. "The Wi-Fi here is sick," she says. "I sent Sean a pic of the view from my room, and he texted back, like, in seconds." "What did he say?" She ignores my question. It was a dumb one, but I'm tired from the airline snafus, and I'm sucking up the last few drops of a midday margarita, so admittedly I'm a little off my game. I'm going to go lie by the pool. The pool is only 10 feet from the beach, and there's a faucet to wash the sand off your feet before you dive in so you don't clog the drain. I walk to the balcony to take a look. Yep, there it is. 2 floors below, shaped like a kidney, with 6 cushioned loungers and palapa umbrellas that don't provide the kind of UV protection my nearly albino daughter needs. Sunblock, I say. Duh, she replies, and trails off down the central staircase. Roberto returns with a pitcher. More for you, and one for the mister. Why not? I let him fill my glass halfway, so it'll look like I'm still nursing my first margarita when Peter returns from escorting our bags to the master bedroom. I take one for him, too, even though he's more of a bourbon guy. Muchas gracias, I tell Roberto. He smiles, nods, and disappears. I stand at the railing and take in the vast blue of the ocean and a deep breath of the warm, perfumed air. I look down at Clem, who sits in a chair with her back to the beach, staring at her phone. Peter comes up behind me, kisses my shoulder, and takes the margarita from my hand. FaceTime with Sean? No doubt. What could they possibly have left to say to each other? I can't imagine. He takes a long sip of his drink. His shirt is soaked through with sweat. Ah, this is nice. Did you check out the volcanic tub? No, that sounds unpleasant. You don't bathe in lava, it's volcanic rock. It's supposed to be good for the pH balance in your skin, or something. Got it. It's in the master bath, along with the rainforest shower. Oh, I didn't really look. I put our bags in the bedroom that way. He points to the right. It has a gorgeous view. Every room has a gorgeous view. That's the whole thing about this house. I point to the left. But the master is that way. Quick, let's grab it before they get here. I start to make my way toward the left-wing bedrooms, even though I already know how this is going to end, and it is not going to end with me soaking in a volcanic tub. I thought we'd leave that one for Sally and Ingrid. You did? Jen? He's already defensive. I have a choice. I can point out that we are paying exactly 50% of the not-insubstantial rent on this house. I can point out that I'm the one who found this particular villa, that Ingrid sent links to places shy a bedroom or with half-mile hikes down treacherous cliffs to unswimmable beaches. I can point out that even though Peter is 6 months older than his best friend and business partner, he defers to Sally like a brow-beaten younger brother. I can point out that the Solomons vacation far more often than we do and never spare expense, that luxury like this is commonplace to them, and so we deserve that fucking rainforest shower and volcanic tub because it will be fucking special to us. In short, I could choose to start an epic battle a mere 15 minutes into our holiday. Instead, I say, but it's your 50th birthday. Sally's too, he replies. I don't say any more. This trip is meant to celebrate both, but Sally's birthday isn't until October, and Peter's is on Wednesday, and any way you cut it, it's just not the same, and we both know it. And besides, he rubs my arm a little. That side has the 3 bedrooms, so the boys won't need to share. It makes more sense like this. I also don't point out that Ivan, who's 5 years old, still sleeps with his parents. And that even though Ingrid claims he stopped breastfeeding last summer, I suspect he still sneaks in a good suck in the middle of the night when Sally's fast asleep. I sigh. Fine. Peter leans in for a kiss. You're the best. Just as this peace is forged, the bell chimes. Once, twice, then Sally's thunderous voice, "Hello! Anybody home?" Roberto opens the door, balancing a tray of margaritas. The taxi driver is there, too, helping with the luggage. 7 bags for the 4 of them. Sally peels a few bills from a large roll of pesos he has stuffed in his pocket. I read in our guidebook that it isn't customary to tip taxi drivers unless they go the extra mile, like helping you with luggage or unloading groceries, and in that case, a few dollars should suffice. Though I'm still working out the exact exchange rate, I can tell from the driver's face as he accepts the cash that Sally didn't read about or doesn't care about what's customary. Ingrid passes on the drink, but Sally takes his and downs half of it before coming straight for me, arms out.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?